Hello, welcome to the celebration of Ludwig van Beethoven's 250th birthday. This is my celebration of a man and the great music that he wrote. I want to start off this podcast series with a couple introductory notes. First of all, I am not by any means a Beethoven expert, but I do have experience playing his music, reading about him. Most of the content of these episodes is coming from a biography about Beethoven by Jan Swafford called Beethoven, Anguish and Triumph. It's a pretty recent biography of him. Another great biography about Beethoven is by Maynard Solomon. Those are two books that if you want to learn more about Beethoven, you should look them up and read about him. The Jan Swafford Beethoven biography is about twice as long and delves more into his music. And the Maynard Solomon is a little bit more concise. I have not read it yet, but I hope to soon. If you're listening to this, you're probably one of three kinds of people. Either you're just a regular person, you have a normal job, you go about your normal day, you're not a musician, but you love music, perhaps, and you've probably heard music by Beethoven. You'll probably learn some things about Beethoven in this podcast series, and I hope you can gain an appreciation for who he was and for the greatness of his music. The second type of person is a musician like me who wants to celebrate Beethoven. You might also learn some new facts and some things about Beethoven, and I hope that you enjoy this. The third type of person is a Beethoven scholar who probably knows a lot more than I do about Beethoven. I hope that all three types of people will comment and give me ideas for future episodes, and also give me corrections if I say anything that is a little bit awry. Obviously, there is a lot of scholarship about Beethoven. I have not read all of it, but there's a lot to know and a lot to research about him. I hope to show Beethoven in some degree of completeness, the good, the bad, the hilarious, the tragic, stories and facts, and some of his wonderful music that changed the world and continues to inspire today. In this podcast, in this episode, we're going to start with his beginnings in Bonn, where he was born, and some of the influences that impacted the rest of his life. Ludwig van Beethoven was born the 16th of December. Well, actually, he was christened the 17th of December, and we have no proof of which day he was born. So it's commonly accepted that he was born the 16th of December. If you personally have documentation, proof that Beethoven was born on the 16th or some other day, if you sell that to a museum or a researcher, you will probably become a millionaire. Or you can just give it to me and I'll become a millionaire. Beethoven's mother was Maria von Beethoven. For Beethoven, his mother Maria was a source of love and virtue. She died when Beethoven was somewhat young, and he always remembered her with fondness. His father, Johann von Beethoven, was a terrible drunk. He was also a court musician. From his father, he learned a little bit of music, and he also learned how to drink. He also had younger brothers, and a couple younger brothers whom he helped throughout his life and also had lots of quarrels with. Another family was very influential in his life. They were called the Breuning family. He described them as, quote, the guardian angels of my youth. He taught some of their younger children. He had a short romance with one of the sisters, and he had a long-lived friendship with Stefan von Breuning. One of the main influences that impacted Beethoven's life was the Enlightenment. He was born in 1770. During the flowering of the Enlightenment, or the Aufklärung in German. The Enlightenment was a rejection in varying degrees of the sovereignty of monarchies. In politics, it sought to have more constitutional governments, and it included some revolutions. We can think of the French Revolution, the American Revolution, other revolutions. It also entailed the idea of separation of church and state and the freedom of the individual man. The German version of the Enlightenment politically was from the top down, meaning that they wanted enlightened rulers, but they didn't want a revolution. That's why we didn't see any revolution coming from the Prussian states or the Germanic area. There was also a big focus on science, math, and reason, looking for evidence to find truth. A side movement in this Enlightenment era was the movement of Sturm und Drang, or Storm and Stress, which Johann Gottfried von Herder wrote about. And this was a movement that expressed passion and angst in the arts, and it had a large influence on Beethoven's life. You can think of the Opus 13 Pathetique Sonata, which you've probably heard. This is a perfect example of the musical style of Sturm und Drang. This style also influenced Romanticism after Beethoven's life. The Enlightenment included several writers, including Christian Wolff, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, Immanuel Kant, and Friedrich Schiller. Last, Friedrich Schiller wrote the text to An die Freude, which Beethoven used in his Ninth Symphony. This is actually the music that you heard at the very beginning of the podcast when the whole chorus is singing the text to An die Freude. One of the key people of the Enlightenment was Napoleon in France, whom Beethoven worshipped. He thought he was a great man and an enlightened ruler until Napoleon proclaimed himself emperor, and then Beethoven hated him because everything that Beethoven had wished for had been sort of dashed to pieces when Napoleon declared himself emperor and proved that he was not an enlightened ruler, as Beethoven thought. One of the main societies that came forward during the Enlightenment was the Masons. There was a very active Masonic lodge in Bonn, where Beethoven was born, and many of his mentors were members of this lodge and high members of this lodge as well. I want to read this quote by G.E. Lessing that describes the ideals of the Masons. Quote, "By the exercise of brotherly love, we are taught to regard the whole human species as one family, the high and the low, the rich and the poor, created by one almighty being and sent into the world for the aid, support, and protection of each other. On these principles, Masonry unites men of every country, sect, and opinion, and by its dictates, conciliates true friendship among those who might otherwise have remained at a distance." Close quote. These are some of the ideas and ideals that impacted Beethoven throughout his life, all the way to the end of his life, even after the revolutions and some of the idyllic ideas in Europe had been frustrated. Of course, another huge influence during these first years in Bonn was music. Beethoven started lessons on the keyboard when he was 4 to 5 years old. And from that time forward, music was basically pounded into him. He practiced incessantly and he improvised incessantly. His father started teaching him, and he had many other teachers throughout his life. Some of these teachers were Gilles van den Eeden, Tobias Pfeiffer, Franz Rivantini, who taught him violin and viola. But the most influential teacher in his Bonn years was Christian Gottlob Neefe. Neefe was instrumental in introducing Beethoven to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, and Neefe also became the Kapellmeister, which is kind of like the musical director of the town or of the court. So as a student of Neefe, Beethoven often took over when his teacher couldn't be there or couldn't play the organ and direct the choir at once. So Beethoven had really a lot of experience in directing things, in soloing and improvising and playing in the orchestra, playing in the opera, playing the organ. By the time he was 10 years old, before he even started with Neefe, Beethoven was earning money by playing in people's homes. People would come and pay to just listen to him improvise and listen to him play his own compositions and the compositions of others. Bonn in these days was a musical center. The Elector Max Franz, who you can think of as the mayor or the governor, he was actually the brother of Marie Antoinette in France. His favorite art was music. When he came to Bonn, he increased the size of the orchestra, he instigated an opera, and he was also very generous with Beethoven. He funded some of his tours up and down the River Rhine, and he also funded a tour to Holland, and he also funded Beethoven's travels to and from Vienna. So obviously, by the time Beethoven moved from Bonn to Vienna, when he was in his early 20s, Beethoven was a master musician. He had compositional expertise. He had improvisational expertise. He had played in orchestras and operas. He had soloed on his instrument. And he had become one of the greatest keyboardists alive. In the 1780s, while Beethoven was a teenager, the piano became the main keyboard instrument, replacing, to some degree, the clavichord and the harpsichord. Beethoven was one of the first composers to compose especially for the piano, and we can see this in his sonatas and other piano works, that he was exploring the piano and looking into the sonorities of the piano, and also always looking for more from the piano. In the late 1780s, Beethoven even took a complete break from composing and practiced hours and hours and hours every single day. Because of this, he became one of the finest pianists alive. So, the Enlightenment ideals, music, and the wonderful music that went on in Bonn were very important in Beethoven's life. They formed his ideas of what music should be. They informed his ideas of how a man should be. And all of this happened during his very formative childhood and teenage years, when he was the most impressed upon. I want to read this quote from Jan Swafford's Beethoven biography that sums up how Bonn's influence impacted Beethoven's life. This is what Bonn taught him. To be a first-rate artist, you must be a first-rate fellow. The essence of both is duty to humankind. Bonn would represent to Beethoven peace and escape. So as we see there, Beethoven felt that in order to be a great artist, you had to be a great person as well. And that for him, giving of his art was a duty to humankind. We'll see this later as we talk about other events in his life. And we'll also see that Beethoven wasn't always a first-rate fellow. In fact, he was often hated and very disliked by many people. In fact, he probably wouldn't have been regarded with any respect at all if he wasn't so wonderfully great at music and obviously one of the best musicians alive in the world at that time. I hope you've enjoyed this summary of the influences that led to, that impacted Beethoven's life as he grew up in Bonn, the influences of the Enlightenment and from his many teachers growing up, and his family, and the piano becoming the main keyboard instrument. In the next episode, I will explore Beethoven as a virtuosic piano and some of his early adventures after moving to Vienna to become a freelance composer and freelance pianist.